Today, we've got friends gathered around. How about Gerald Wolf of Greater Vision, Guy Penrod, Phil and Kim Collinsworth, and Kevin Williams.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Fast-paced show ahead of us featuring some great conversation and great music from artists. As I mentioned, Kevin Williams on guitar, Phil and Kim Collinsworth of the Collinsworth family, Guy Penrod, and Greater Vision's Gerald Wolf. In fact, let's get things started with Greater Vision, and this will be a new classic, I'm sure of it. The Blood Hasn't Ever Changed. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
In this ever-changing world, solutions to the problems that you face. But I'm here to tell you that you can't find the answers here, 'cause they're only found in God's amazing. Say there's nothing to the word of God, but there will come a day when even they shall kneel to the King of Kings. Praise God, it won't be long, 'cause the blood still cleanses hearts of sin.
Greater Vision. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm talking with Gerald Wolf and talking about things that's like dark clouds that hang over you. And Gerald's response to this question was complainers, just a magnet for complainers.
And so you feel like you got to, maybe that's just your call in life, is to say, well, Lord, you've given this to me for a reason. So maybe I'll treat it as a blessing or something, or an opportunity.
You know what I do? I don't let things like that get to me. Every day's a blessing. I mean, when you wake up and you're vertical and you're ventilated, it's just a blessing. So I can laugh. There's rarely something that comes along that I can't find something funny to laugh about later. So I'm blessed that way. I'm just very thankful. And my dad was that way. He didn't let things bother him, and he just moved on to the next thing. the Apostle Paul said, and he had one person apparently that just kept giving him trouble during his ministry, and he eventually wrote about him, and he said three times he asked the Lord to deliver this person, get him away from him, and he called him the messenger of Satan, meant to buffet me, you know. I think it was a person, and it was all someone who was always around him, apparently criticizing or causing trouble, and the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you, and so we have to use that as an example, and that's the way we're supposed to live, I think.
Gerald Wolf of Greater Vision, right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Jesus' feet were growing weary as he journeyed on his way. So he rested at the wellside of comfort in the heat of day. There he waited for a woman black with sin and bound for hell. When she arrived,
says this man changed her forever, and if you need hope, you can find it here.
He's still waiting by the well, and he's holding out his hand. If you drink this living water, you won't have to thirst again.
Gerald, one question here, and this as we're going to get down and talk about your kids. I know your kids are growing up. I see your daughter is celebrating a birthday here just lately. So kids, when they're young, you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, and you used to have some very classic answers like, I want to be a firefighter, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a doctor. They've kind of gone back and asked these questions, and I guess maybe should be shocked a little bit. The top three answers were, I just want to be rich, I just want to be famous, or I just don't want to work at all. But once you move past that, you have police officer as the number one profession, zookeeper is number two, and followed by firefighter, doctor, and veterinarian. So what did your kids ever tell you they wanted to be when they were real small?
You know, they wanted to be, of course, because of what I do, they wanted to be singers. And now that one of my sons is grown, he's a graphic designer, so he's involved in the music business, but he's not a singer, although he can sing. My other son's in college, and Casey just, she wants a phone. That's all she wants. I told her yesterday, I said, when you finally get one, you wish you'd never asked for it.
Gerald, I got the 6 Plus yesterday. It came in the mail, and I was like a kid at Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you'll never lose it.
Reading Facebook on that thing is like Reader's Digest large print. I mean, it's...
Oh, good grief. Yeah. It's huge.
It is, but I don't have a tablet, so this is my answer.
Well, that'll work. I'm talking to you on the new 6 right now, not a 6 Plus.
Right. So what did you want to be when you grew up, Gerald? Let's put the question back on you. When you were a little kid, was music in your scope?
Well, not as a profession. I mean, I was involved in it so much at church and on the radio, you know, from the time I was 3, that I didn't think about it, really. It's just something I always did. I thought I would go into the Navy. That was really what my career path was.
Yeah, there's a lot of oceans here in East Tennessee. That makes sense.
I think that's why I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. But it just didn't work out. I got a call when I was 17 to go on the road, and so that's what I've been doing all these years.
Wow. Well, I told you last week, and we can echo it here in the studio, that we absolutely are just thrilled and love the song, which is one of those songs. You feel a little bit like the Booth Brothers may have felt with the song Look for Me at Jesus' Feet, where it was one of those that, you know, it was written so many years ago and even recorded so many years ago, and then you guys came back and redid that, and yet it took on this whole new life.
Yeah, it's really, it's great to hear now that choirs, church choirs are singing that song. And when Chris wrote it 15 years ago, he put it on a solo record, and it just kind of laid there. He didn't sing it much. And then last year, when we were looking for new material, I was listening to one of his old things on my iPod and ran across that song. And man, this is a great song. We recut it. We didn't change anything about it as far as the arrangement. We just recut it, and it just took off. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I'm no expert in this. I'm certainly no Rodney Griffin or Chris Allman or Gerald Wolfe, but when it comes to songwriting, I don't know beans about it. But people say, well, what makes for a good song? And I said, you know, all the normal stuff. Should it be creative? Should it be doctrinally sound? Should it be something that touches people's heart? Yes, 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 yes. But at the end of all of that, is it something that will get stuck in their head? Is it memorable? And that's
exactly
the kind of song that hits all of those, but it's definitely one that we find ourselves humming.
That's what makes a great song. If you catch yourself humming it or trying to remember where you heard it, then you know it's a great song.
And boy, it is. It really is. Thanks to Gerald Wolfe for spending time with us today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Of course, the music of Greater Vision. And that song that will get deep down in your soul and stuck in your head for all he's done.
Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. You know he's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done. Gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'll try to live my life to please him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many things that I could praise God for, and if I started now until I died, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank him for his son. Now that's enough to praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'll try to live
better vision. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Let's switch gears now and talk to Guy Penrod. Recently caught up with Guy in Lynchburg, Virginia, a place where he called home for many years, especially throughout his college years and beginnings of his musical ministry. And you can't talk to a gospel singer very long after traveling as many miles as they do without talking about food and really good places to eat.
You know, I have a lot of favorite restaurants. And of course, traveling like we do, we are food aficionados. I wish I wasn't quite as familiar with all the different foods out there. It's a battle. But having said that, when we lived here, the special occasions, Dr. Falwell introduced us to a steakhouse here called Crown Sterling. And it holds so many memories. There was a maitre d' there, or he may have been the proprietor, actually, by the name of Culpepper. And Dr. Falwell, when we get done with services on many Sundays, he'd say, "Kids, come on, let's go eat." And we'd go to Crown Sterling and Culpepper take care of us. And so when Angie and I had a special event and a special night date, you know, I'd take her to Crown Sterling. So it's a good steak. It's a great place. And I don't know if Culpepper's still around because it's been a long time since I've been over there, but it holds a lot of good memories. And, you know, that's what's fun about walking with Christ. I heard a guy put it this way not long ago, and I thought, man, what a brilliant way to say it. Jesus came and he said, "I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat."
That's good.
Is that not profound? And essentially, really, I mean, the gospel message boils down to a real simple realization that we all fall short. You have to come there first. But then that Jesus' gift and the simplicity of this profound work on the cross was essentially, "I love you. I forgive you. Now, let's eat." We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? He equates it to the table. Come to the table of Christ. He says, "Knock, and I will come in and dine with you." All of the many, many references to the fellowship that takes place around a table, eating and talking and getting to know each other and loving on each other, I think is a profound way for us to look at things. So that's a good question. That's exactly why, you know, that particular restaurant holds value to me. It's much less about the food than it was about the fellowship that took place at that place.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me of my hand can fulfill thy lost demand. Could my zeal no longer know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall shall close in death. When I soar to worlds unknown, see thee all
It's a rock of ages, a cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Singing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior.
Guy Penrod on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Guy, you know, a lot has changed from when you were a little boy, from when I was a little boy, the way we were raised, you know, and it seems like a lot of times today children have the rule of the roost. I've looked at surveys, I've looked at trends of picky eaters, where mama will make whatever they want to eat and end up making three or four different meals for three or four different family members. What do you do in your home?
We just kind of didn't put up a whole lot with picky eating. Honestly, we just said, all right, kids, here you go. This is food. Ready, set, eat. If you don't eat this particular food, then you're going to have a hard time getting through the rest of the day. You're going to be hungry. So we didn't really put up with that. We just gave a real good option right out of the chute, and that was that. And we didn't really kowtow to some preference too much, and we figured you train taste buds rather than fulfill someone's desire for a certain flavor, you know, or sugar. My wife's pretty good about it, and her master's is in health promotion education, actually, which is interesting that that's how it ended up. But she's pretty hard-nosed when it comes to it, and she can support it with a whole lot of educational training. So our kids aren't bad when it comes to that. Now, the schedules, that's a whole nother story right there. We this year have a bunch of them playing football and soccer as well, but usually there's five or six of them playing on a team sport, and they're on usually four or five different teams. So you can imagine, you know, that gets to be a bit of a nightmare. But the good news is, as they start driving, it works even more seamlessly. It just, the amount of kids at the table kind of goes down. So we found ourselves of late sitting around with maybe just our 12 and 10 and 8-year-olds. The rest of them had gone with one of the 18 or 20-year-olds to one of the practices and picked up Chick-fil-A.
There you go.
We're bobbing and weaving.
Yeah.
It is definitely something we prioritize. And that is, you're right, as they get mobile and schedules get wacky, it doesn't happen as frequently as it used to. But the gathering around the table is just so important to their overall development and health, I think, as humans. And, of course, the fabric of your family is just obviously much stronger as you prioritize that time. And it does take prioritizing. There are other things that have to go away in order for you to make that time important and force it to happen.
Family Guy, great singer, all around good guy. Guy Penrod.
The rich and the poor, they got this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The bum in the boxcar, the guitar picking rock star. The Lord is the maker of them all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, he knows when the sparrow. saints and the sinners. Yeah, the Lord is the maker of us all.
Hi, it's Daniel Britt and friends with Guy Penrod, talking life and faith and family with Guy.
I recently got a canoe. So you're talking about family memories. Put all my family in the canoe. We go canoeing down the river. We go canoeing down the lakes. We were out a couple weeks ago now, and we were going under a branch. I'm very, you know, aware of my surroundings, but in this one instance, we're going under this tree branch, and my wife says, there's a snake in that branch. We look up, and the snake is literally like, you know, 4 inches away from my five-year-old girl's face. Now, to be honest, it was no bigger than a pencil as far as the width, the diameter, and it was a little green snake. But, you know, we're like, hey, what do you do if you're in a canoe and you encounter a snake? Because the canoe's not big enough for everybody, I'm just saying.
Get two birds with one stone and teach the entire family about snakes. That way they would know what to be concerned about, what not to be concerned about.
Yeah, so I see you as being a great person to respond to this kind of a topic, Guy, because I know you're an outdoorsman. You have a wonderful farm there in Tennessee where you live and you've raised your kids, and you homeschool. So we do the same. Do you take these opportunities to, hey, they're natural field trips, natural point of education here?
Oh, absolutely, man. We do that a lot, in fact. And yeah, we deal with snakes in particular where we live. We happen to live on a spot in Middle Tennessee where there's a lot of timber rattlers. And then you get your run of chicken snakes and black snakes and racers. And all of those are welcome on our place. And we've used the resources that are out there to show them books and pictures of the ones to worry about and the ones to not be too concerned about. But I don't really put up with big old poisonous snakes around the house. That's just one of them. That's a line for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not too fond of those little boogers, but we do let them be, you know, to get rid of mice. My wife would be more concerned about the mouse than she would the snake. So we'd go that direction with it.
To clarify, I didn't scream. I did paddle faster.
T'was a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope walked the shell of a man. Then a with a nail print stretched downward, just one touch, then a new life began, and the old rugged cross made faces.
Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be seen in a tomb. Oh, and the old rugged cross made the difference.
Gaither Vocal Band featuring one of our guests today, Guy Penrod. Switching gears now and talking to family group, the Collingsworth family. Mom and dad of the group, Phil and Kim Collingsworth, are with us. And yeah, we're talking family and kids.
As parents, you have this struggle, this, you know, you want to be the authoritative parent. I'm leading, I'm guiding, God put me here to be your parent kind of model. But I also want to be your friend, and you have a lot of parents who seem to get those roles reversed. So how did you guys parent by doing both?
That's a loaded question, Daniel. I will tell you, and I'm not trying to sound very pious or anything, but it didn't happen without a lot of prayer and asking God to give us wisdom, because to be honest, I said from the get-go, I don't know how to be a parent. And about the time you think you've got it in the bag, you wake up the next morning and these teenagers have another thought or an idea that just sends your head spinning. So, you know what? Jesus said, ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you liberally. And we have really done a lot of begging for that. And any good that has come out of the parenting job, you can just thank Jesus for it.
The most concise way we can put that answer is one day at a time, sweet Jesus.
Storm clouds are coming and you're still humming yesterday's victory tune. You've got it all together, but you haven't seen the weather that's coming when the day is through. But if you stop and listen and just pay attention to the word God has today, He knows what you need and you can believe anything He has to say.
If God says build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. If God tells you to start, you better not hesitate. He's got a master plan, he's working, and the best thing for you to do is obey.
If God says build an ark, it won't be
just another rainy day.
Build an ark, it won't be just another rainy day. Well, God tells you to start, you better not hesitate. He's got a master plan, he's working, and the best thing for you to do is obey.
God says building art, it won't be
just another rainy day. God says building art, you better start building that art. If God says building art,
it won't be
just another rainy day.
Collingsworth family, we're talking today to Phil and Kim Collingsworth here on Daniel Britt and Friends, and actually caught up with them back before the birth of their first grandbaby, their first granddaughter, from their daughter Brooklyn and son-in-law William. One of the questions I asked was, how did you prepare his grandparents? Prepare to spoil, that is.
Well, I've got her first Christmas ornament
with her name on it.
With her name on it in Alaska.
Nice.
I think the most special thing that we'll have for our personal home for the baby is I saved all of, we had the same baby furniture for all four of our children, and it was solid wood, so it held up really good. And Phil always tried to get me to get rid of it, and I said, please don't make me get rid of this. So I have the furniture that our children used, and so nice. We're going to restain it and use it for baby Emma.
When we had we were pregnant for our first child, I put it this way. So we were in this stage of, we don't know how to be parents. You know, we went through a lot of the, okay, here's the checklist. Here's the stuff you got to do. The baby's coming, whether you like it or not, prepare, prepare, prepare. And in the middle of all the buying and the preparation, there were moments of randomness. And I remember walking through a Babies R Us, and there was a green stuffed frog, and I just had to buy it. I don't know why. To this day, I don't know what it was about the frog, but we still have the frog. I bought it for my firstborn before he was ever born. So there's sometimes some rant. You find that you have these impulse buys?
Well,
the day you went to
Home Goods
and you bought that pink polka dotted chair, I think that was one of those days.
You got a rocking chair.
Yeah.
When I take my first breath in heaven, and these feet of mine finally touch gold, when my eyes see the face of redemption, only one dream remains to unfold.
To stand before the Father's throne.
Praise Him for Calvary and the gift of salvation through grace. It's my heart's great desire to behold Him and to thank Him at last in that place.
Father's throne.
This is a question that I think Kim might be qualified to answer on behalf of Phil. All right. This is, we all know that doing it ourselves, the DIY category in the bookstores or nowadays on YouTube, where you can go and figure out how to repair something on your own or make something on your own is big. But there's always something, a project or a task, where doing it yourself sounded like a good idea at the time, but in the long run, you would have been better off just hiring someone, just paying someone to do it and call it a day. Have you ever had a situation like that you can think of?
Oh, boy.
How about getting your garage painted?
Well, no, you know, let me tell you. Back in the early days when we were just getting started, Phil, this is before the days of the backdrop, you know, where everybody has those big backdrops.
Yeah.
Phil decided he was going to build one. I would have never told him this then, but we have laughed so hard. I hate to tell you, it was the ugliest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I didn't, you know, I was trying to be the nice wife, and yeah. Well, he ended up never even setting it up, because once he got it done, he was like, this looks hideous. So he literally took it out, and back in the day, we spent $175 on the building materials for it, and he literally took it out to the trash.
Wow.
So in that case, you know what? We just decided to let the company that does those beautiful backdrops take care of ours.
Right, exactly.
Good choice.
Show a little bit of love and kindness. Don't go around with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Show a little bit.
The Collingsworth family, and thanks again to our guests, Phil and Kim Collingsworth. Hey, so far today we've talked to Gerald Wolf of Greater Vision, Guy Penrod, Phil and Kim Collingsworth, and right now let's turn our attention to guitarist and all-around funny man, Kevin Williams. Kevin, sitting in the seat where you sit on stage night after night, watching the audience, have you noticed any trends lately? Have you noticed anything interesting about the diversity of people who really love gospel music?
It's quite an eclectic mix from where I sit. Obviously, that changes a little bit regionally when you go somewhere.
Yeah.
For instance, it's a little more diverse in certain regions of the United States, and then a little more of Middle America church going, folks that we are used to seeing in certain areas too. But I had a guy come up. We were in Memphis, Tennessee last Saturday night. A guy came up to the table at the end. He said, "I don't go to church." He said, "I watch this on TV, and I'm drawn to it. Can't tell you why." And, of course, for a believer in Christ, that's the power of the Spirit of the Lord doing that work in him. But I just let him talk. And he said, "But I'm here." He said, "My wife wouldn't come to this thing, but I bought a ticket." And so I love hearing those stories, That's something bigger than us at work. So I see a lot of that. And then I see a lot of folks who have been faithful to the cause of Christ for years, and they're sitting there, and this is their annual fix. That's kind of what I see. I just see a lot of grateful people. I folks that I've known for a lot of years. I see familiar faces in every market that we go to. And then it seems like there's a portion of our crowd that is getting younger. The Gaither audience was, you tend to think, boy, Gaithers were big in the 70s, or something. But so that crowd is there. But then, of course, the videos were huge in the 90s and 2000s. And then we've got a younger faction of people that just think these are some cool older folks, I guess. I don't know. But especially you get outside this country, and we've got so many 20-somethings that come to our concerts in Norway and in Germany, and it's really, it's very different. So thankful to see all of that from where I sit, man. It's been 22 years in that chair for me, and I. As Howard Goodman would have said, I don't regret a mile. I've seen it change a lot, and I have enjoyed every step of the way.
From Kevin Williams' solo project of guitar favorites. In fact, it's called Acoustic Sunday. And featuring also his friend and ours, Buddy Green, on harmonica. We're talking to Kevin Williams.
Going back to home, going back to mowing the lawn, paying the bills, stuff like that. Is there something on the list of home chores that you would rather just pay someone to do? Or maybe it's something you... looking back, hindsight 2020 kind of thing, I wished I would have paid somebody to do that because I made a mess of it.
Well, that is such a Daniel Brick question. Wow. You asked those questions. That is just, that is the craziest thing. I enjoy, when I have time, I don't mind mowing the yard, but outside of that, like landscaping kinds of things and pruning, that kind of stuff. I'm no good at that. And I just, I don't have any desire. So basic yard kind of things. Now, inside the house, I like the handyman kind of stuff. You know, my dad taught me to use tools when I was a kid, and so fix-it kind of things. I'll either fix it or break it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've all got those times, those tasks, those projects we're doing it ourselves sounded like a good idea at the time, you know, and you think back to the people who try to cut their own hair. Most people, that's a bad idea. You have a few that could do that. But, you know, I've got those projects in my life where I've gone back and it's like, this has taken me 18 times as long as it would have to have paid $100 and have somebody do it.
You're exactly right. I've been there. But now you made me think of something. Here's my crazy brain when you talk about cutting hair. Trivia question for you. Which member of the Gaither vocal band cuts his own hair?
Todd.
Wes Hampton cuts his own hair.
Really?
And you got to ask him about this when you interview him. He has, I kid you not, a Flowbee.
Remember
what that is?
Vacuum cleaner attachment.
That's the $20 thing that you order at Christmas time that attaches to your vacuum. And he cuts his hair and he cuts all four of his boys' hair. And he brags about how much money he saved by doing it. And his hair looks great. I mean, you know, it's Wes Hampton. Nobody knows this little-known fact. So, see, this is why you call me, these kinds of pieces of information.
You and Sue Buchanan, you know everything.
That's true. And I just think that's so unique about Wes, because Wes is just the most put-together kind of guy, you know. And all the guys are in great physical shape now, you know, and of course then there's me and David, you know, you got all these guys working out and looking good. I'm just, that's why I got a guitar in front of my belly, you know, so I can...
Going to wrap things up for this edition of the show, where we featured conversation and music from Greater Vision and Gerald Wolf, Guy Penrod, the Collingsworth family, Phil and Kim Collingsworth, and Kevin Williams, wonderful gospel music guitarist. Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.